everyone. My name is Jill, and I am so glad you have joined us today for our online service. If you are new or joining us for the first time, we want to say welcome and thank you so much for being with us. If you have a prayer request or want to connect with a pastor, contact us through our app or email us at the email address on your screen. Our Christian Assembly LA app is available to download on Android and Apple devices. You can also find out about our upcoming events, as well as you can access our daily Bible reading plan and our past weekend service videos on the app. You guys, we also want to say thank you so much for your giving and your ongoing generosity. We encourage you to give online through our Christian Assembly LA app or on our website by clicking on the Give tab. You can sign up to give online through either the app or website if you haven't already done so. For those of you mailing in your offering, you can make your check out to Christian Assembly Church and send it to the address below. If you make a decision to follow Jesus Christ at any point during our service, we would love to follow up with you and be able to celebrate with you. So would you let us know? You can email us at the address on your screen, or you can text the word decision to the number 52855, and one of our pastors will personally follow up with you to pray for you and encourage you with next steps. You guys, again, we want to say thank you so much for being with us today online. We encourage you to continue to worship with us for the rest of the service. Let me pray for us. God, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness and the many ways you have blessed us and provided for us, especially in this season. God, I pray that as we worship and as we enjoy this service together, that you would encourage us, that you would challenge us, and that you would speak to us and strengthen us, Lord. We pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Let's worship together.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to our service. We're just praying that the sense of God, of God's presence is going to invade every home, every inch, every corner of your house. You're going to sense His goodness, His grace, His power, His presence, His hope, His peace in your life. All right? So stand up and get ready. Let's sing this hymn together.
And all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord. The royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. He chosen seed of Israel's race, He ransomed from the fall. Hail Him who saves you by His grace and crown Him Lord.
gazing from the heaven. Oh, praise Him in the heights up above. Praise Him, all of His angels. And praise Him, all of His heavenly hosts. Oh, praise Him, oh, You sun and moon. All of His shining stars, praise Him from above. Oh, praise Him, oh, You highest heaven, together with one mighty voice, praise the name of the to just declare that He is good and to give Him thanks and give Him glory. I remember one sermon long ago, and Pastor Mark was talking about how we pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I just didn't really know exactly what that meant. And he just said, basically what it is we want to have what's going on in heaven right now be what's going on earth through us right here, right now. And this next song we're going to do is a prayer that through our lives and through our worship, the worship of heaven, the love and unity of heaven, all those things, the beauty of heaven would come as we praise Him even now. That's our prayer. We want to be kingdom bringers. Amen. Let it be,
let it be
here on earth as it is now in heaven. Let Your kingdom come. Perfect love.
Perfect love.
Perfect peace.
Perfect peace.
All I want in your presence. Let your kingdom come. And start with us as we choose to forgive. Reign in us. Let the healing begin. Let it be. Here on earth, as it is now in heaven, let your kingdom come. For thine is the kingdom, for thine is the power. Say, let it be, here on earth, as it is now in heaven, let your kingdom come. Broken lives, all made whole, wayward souls coming home, let your kingdom come. Sing it, Eileen.
Let justice roll.
Let your kingdom come. Let it come. Let it come. Kingdom come, oh yes, let your kingdom come now and forever, let your kingdom come.
direction's gonna lead us.
And we pour out all our worship. We pour out all our love. We pour out all we have on the feet of our Lord. Oh, we pour out all our worship. We pour out all our love. We pour out all we have on the feet of our Lord Jesus.
Let the fragrance arise. Let
the fragrance arise of our praise, of our surrender, of our love, of our worship. Oh, let it arise, worthy one, worthy one.
I just sense the power of God's worthy Spirit, the power one. Of God's presence in this place. Worthy, I believe it's radiating to your house, to your home, worthy, to your family, one. Even now. Turn it up, make it even louder. Can we sing that holy again?
Yeah. Oh, oh, you're so holy, Jesus. Oh, holy, yeah. You're holy. We honor you, Jesus. We honor you. You're so worthy. You're worthy of everything, God. You're worthy. Come on. You're worthy. We will sing it again. He's holy, 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 holy. You're holy. You're holy. You're so holy, Lord. Holy. We honor you. Worthy one, worthy one, yeah.
Worthy.
Come on.
You're worthy, yeah. Worthy. We worship you with all the
fragrance.
Let the fragrance of our praise we go, Lord. Let the fragrance of our praise fill our hearts. Come fill this place. Oh, oh Jesus, worthy, worthy, worthy one, worthy, worthy, worthy.
Here I to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship.
Well, a happy, hot summer welcome to all the CA family and to any guests. It's an honor to be with you this weekend. We come to week number 3 in our series, To Tell the Truth. Week number 1, we saw that Jesus, in fact, it's been our theme verse from John 8:32. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus established that freedom and truth are inseparably bound together. But week 1, we looked at the painful truth that we're all, we have this amazing capacity to be oblivious to what's obvious in our lives. And so we said that all of us have a severe case of the blind spot syndrome. Week number 2, we established that we've got to have truth to be free. Who is it? Because people know the truth about you. Who is it that will love us enough to tell the truth to us about us? And this week, week number 3, we're going to talk about the truth about you being ready to trust God is that you'll never feel ready to trust God. New parents, first-time parents, come home from the hospital with their bundle of joy, and that first night, nobody sleeps a wink. And at some point, this new mom and dad turn and look at each other and say, I don't think I'm ready for this. Those little ones grow up confronting this crazy world and all of its twisted realities. And with each step, we've got to teach them to say, ready or not, here I come. The truth about me, the truth about you being ready, is that you'll never be ready for the most daunting and important parts of our lives. Jesus, in fact, the Bible has only one kind of story. Jesus uses people who just say yes, even though they don't feel ready. The Bible is full of stories of those who are not yet ready, but who are going anyway. One of the best not yet ready stories in all of the Bible comes at the end of Matthew's gospel, and we find these words of Jesus. Would you follow along as I read? Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and spoke. He told these things to his disciples. I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. Now Jesus, after his crucifixion and after his resurrection, will send his disciples out. He will commission people for an assignment that they are clearly not ready for. Now, one of the most important clues in these words of Jesus is his use of the word 11. Now, we read that and think 11, no big deal. Judas has died, and there's only 11 of them remaining. But that word, the use of that word by Jesus, that word would have literally leapt off the page and gained the attention of every listener. The ancient world put great importance on numbers. For example, the number 3 was associated with holiness. The most holy place for a Jewish person would have been the temple. The temple was divided into 3 parts. There was a courtyard, and then there was a holy place, and then there was even a most holy place. The great blessing of God was this: holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. 3 times you were to say the word holy. The number 4 was associated with earth and physical creation. There are 4 directions: north, south, east, and west. There are 4 seasons: winter, spring, summer, and fall. And we talk about going to the 4 corners of the world. The number 3 and the number 4 put together, 3 times 4, was associated with the union of that which is holy and that which is human. God and people joined together, heaven and earth. And 3 times 4, the number 12, was the most sacred and revered number of all. There were 12 loaves of bread that were always in the temple. The high priest wore a kind of vestment, and in that were 12 gems. There were 12 disciples. 12 was the number of wholeness. The lunar calendar had 12 months. There were the 12 tribes of Israel, which meant the entire family of God was whole and complete. Now, in Jesus' day, though, it was anything but whole and complete. It was absolutely broken. In 722 BC, the Assyrians literally just demolished, they decimated the northern kingdom, and all that was left are the tribes of Benjamin, Judah, and the half-tribe of Levi. No longer are there 12 tribes. Israel ached and longed for the day when God would restore the 12 tribes. Jesus comes and he has really one announcement, and it is this: the kingdom of God is near. In other words, God is at work in Jesus in a special way to set what was so wrong right. Now, Jesus chooses how many disciples? We all know he chose 12. Now, every rabbi did this. Every rabbi chose disciples. But Jesus is the only one that chose his 12 the way he did. Jesus hand recruited. He called his disciples to him. Every other rabbi would have given applications out. And depending on how promising you looked according to that application, then you would have been accepted. You would have been given a place with a certain rabbi, but not Jesus. But the other rabbis would have looked at Jesus' hand recruitment as low class, below the dignity of a rabbi. Jesus, no other rabbi chose disciples the way Jesus did, and he had the number 12. No coincidence in that, by the way. Jesus is making clear, and a clear and dangerous claim. He is saying to the world, to Israel, and to Rome, what God started long ago in the 12 sons of Jacob. Remember, Jacob is the one whose name would be changed to Israel, and they would be the 12 tribes. All that has been lost and broken, God is now in Jesus recreating and redeeming this mess. This was an outlandish claim, audacious claim. Choosing 12 disciples in the way Jesus did was an in-your-face move. God's dream is not dead. It is coming alive through me, Jesus announces, and through these 12 that I have chosen. It's why we see the number 12 all throughout the whole of the Bible. In the book of Revelation, we see a city that we're all created for. Everybody in Christ is destined for this city, a city that is redeemed and set right. This city has 12 gates, and each one of those gates is made of 12 pearls. It's where we get the term the pearly gates. It comes right from the book of Revelation. The walls of that city, there are 12 foundations, and there are 12 angels that guard the city, meaning there is absolute perfect safety. It is fed by, and we find at the end of the Bible what we found at the first, the tree of life. A tree of life that is giving 12 kinds of fruit, each in its 12 months, meaning there will be a super abundance. There will be no need, and it will be filled with 144,000 people. Now, clearly, obviously, that is not a literal number. It is only a symbolic number. It is 12 times 12,000, which means that every person and every tribe is thriving and exploding. The number 12 was esteemed, revered, and respected. It's why the disciples loved being the 12. They loved being a part of this team because together they were it. Together they were a force. But individually, they're not all that impressive. Peter, who is the denier, Thomas, who is the doubter, and Judas, who is the betrayer. And something could be said of each one of them, and all of them individually were at one point contesting and fighting with each other over who's the fastest, who's the smartest, and who's the best. Jesus sends them out, but there's only 11. They are not complete. They are not perfect anymore. This is the wrong number. And not only are they the wrong number, but some of them doubted. Now, one of the things that convinced me to believe in the Bible was that the biblical writers do not in any way make the players in the Bible seem better than they actually are. Matthew hides nothing from the reader. There's a number problem. Not only is there a quantity problem, but there's a quality problem. They don't have enough, and the ones they do have don't believe. In this group, there are both worshipers and doubters. That's the team that Jesus will tell to go into all the world. One commentator, I thought this was a brilliant observation. This commentator said, the number 11 limps. In other words, it's defective. The church that Jesus is going to send into the world is so 11-ish. It's imperfect. It's inadequate. Jesus didn't say to them, you know, I'd really love to send you, but we've got some problems. I'll tell you what, I want you to go, but first, you need to get the number thing squared away. And then you got to get the faith deal done. Jesus said, you will go. And as you go, we will work on the number and we will work on the faith deal while you are doing the obedience thing. See, you always learn as you go. But Jesus says, I'm sending you. You're going, ready or not. Every single person that is called in the Bible, not one single story is of a person who's saying, you know, it's about time, God. Yeah, I've been waiting a long time. I'm complete. I'm ready. I'm ready to go on my own. Not one of them. Every single biblical story is about someone who responds, I don't think so. I'm not ready yet. God calls a man named Moses, and we all know the story. Moses, I'm asking you to be my mouthpiece to the great Pharaoh on behalf of Israel, who's been slaves for 430 years. Moses responds and says, I don't think so. I'm not ready yet. After all, I really struggled with speech in college. I didn't do very good. I don't think so. God's going to call a man named Gideon to be a part of rescuing Israel. And Gideon responds and says, I don't think so. I'm not ready yet. Because, see, God, what you don't know is that I'm from the smallest clan. And go ask anyone in that smallest clan who is the most likely to not succeed, and they will give you my name. God's going to call a man named Abraham. Abraham, we're going to have a son of promise. But Abraham said, I don't think so. I'm not ready yet. I've not seen any 100-year-old men a part of a birth process. God calls a man named Jeremiah who says, I don't think so. I'm an only child. I've got family of origin issues. Over and over and over again in every biblical story, we find this mixture of faith and doubt, worship and doubt. God calls a man named Isaiah who says, I don't think so, because I've got some holiness issues. Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. And God's going to call a woman, a remarkable woman, whose name is Esther. And she's going to say, I don't think so. I'm not ready for that yet, because God, what you're asking me to do is the king gets very upset over requests. In fact, he kills people. I don't think so. And God's going to call a man named Saul, who will be the first king of Israel. It's a day of splendor and wonder, and all of Israel is gathered. The prophet Samuel is there to anoint and coronate Saul as king. And there's festivity and food and music and all the rest. Israel is gathered, but they can't find Saul. Where's Saul? They look and they finally find him hiding in a closet where they had hidden away a bunch of baggage. Person after person. I'm too inarticulate. I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm too weak. I'm too sinful. I'm too poor. I've got way too much baggage. No one ever says, Lord, I'm so ready. Here's the truth. God loves to use people who aren't yet ready, because it's the only kind of person that there is. The truth about me, the truth about you, is we will always have a reason to say, I'm not ready. See, when we talk about ready, what that means for us is that I'm complete on my own. I'm self-sufficient, so success is guaranteed. The truth about you, the truth about me, is that you don't know what you can do until you try. But if you wait until you're ready, you will wait. In fact, your whole life will be nothing but one long wait. But Lord, there's a problem. There's 11, and some of them have doubts, and Jesus says, you go. Go not because you are ready, but go because all authority has been given to me, and I will be with you as you go. See, the deal is not if you're ready. The deal is if Jesus is ready. You go not because you're ready. You go because he won't leave you alone. My truth, oh, it's my truth. I am so 11-ish. In 2014, the Seattle Seahawks won their first franchise. In fact, I think it was their only one, but it was their first Super Bowl. And all of Seattle went crazy. In fact, Seattle's still going crazy, by the way. And all of the players and all of the owners and the management and coaches said that they had an advantage that season because they had a secret weapon. Their secret weapon were their fans. And their fans were the loudest fans in the entire NFL. In fact, they set a Guinness World Book of Record because sound is measured by decibels, and they were recorded at 136.7 decibels. That was the loudest crowd ever in a stadium. Now, to give you a little bit of context, 100 decibels can create hearing damage your ears, create hearing loss. 130 decibels would be equivalent to being right next to a large jet plane at takeoff. The fans were called by the Seattle team their 12th man. They said, we could never have won without the 12th man. Jesus said, look, I don't want you to worry about the number. I don't want you to worry about the faith deal. But I want you to never forget who is the 12th man. I will be with you when you go, so you can trust and you can try because you will never be alone. I will be with you all the days, Jesus said, not most, not some, not on your good days, not on your ready days, but I will be with you all the days. So Jesus says, you can go, you can risk, you can serve, you can love, you can bless, you can learn, you can pray, you can ask, you can sacrifice, you can give, and you can try. The final truth about me, the final truth about you, is that most of us, we never just say blatantly to God, no. We don't just say to him, never. But what we do say is, just not yet. You know, noble intentions get far too much credit, because noble intentions that never get lived out count for absolutely nothing. Jesus gathered the 11. It was the wrong number. And among them were some doubters. They didn't have enough faith. But Jesus said, you go and you make disciples. You help them as they become disciples and follow me. You be bold as you go and baptize them. You know, I've found over the years that most people, when it comes to talking to another person about their faith in Jesus, they have a tendency to say, you know what? I don't think so. I'm not ready. I'm not trained. I'm not skilled enough. I'm not an orator. I don't have enough answers. But to all the CA family, God commissions us these words again. Go, not because you are ready, but because he's ready to go with you. Let's pray together. Our great sending God, Lord, the truth is that we will never have a day when we finally feel ready to trust you. But we respond in obedience to go, to be sent ones. And as we go, we ask, Lord, that you'll work on the number and you'll work on the doubt. We confess, Lord, that we are so 11-ish. Lord, that we are marked by that defect. But Lord, our trust is in you. I pray that in these difficult days in our city and in our world, Lord, send us like we've never been sent before. We ask for this as we trust you in the mighty, awesome, wonderful name of our God, who is at work restoring and recreating lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you, Christian Assembly. God bless you.
Find me faithful, ever faithful, and make this the goal of my life. Through blessings and sorrows, to the end I will follow, and make this the goal of my life. I fix my eyes on the prize, the author of my faith, my life. Help me keep looking straight ahead. And on this long and winding road I've strayed, I've traveled on my own. It's only in surrender I can stay upon this road that will someday lead me home. Find me faithful. This the goal of my life. Through all the blessings and all the sorrows, to the very end, Lord, I'm gonna follow. I make this the goal of my life. I make this the goal of my life. I make this the goal of my life.
Thank you again for joining us online today. If you made a decision to follow Jesus Christ, would you email or text us so that we can follow up with you and be able to celebrate with you? I also want to remind you of a couple ways to stay connected with us this week. We have our CA daily touch points, and then we also have digital discipleship on Wednesday night. And you can find all of these on our social media. You can find and follow us on our socials using Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Let me close with a benediction. May you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Thanks, you guys, and see you next week.